come before our great God in prayer. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the glorious truth that you, through your Son, sets us free. We thank you that that price for freedom was paid by your Son, and we pray that as we look at your word now, that we may desire that freedom. And in desiring that freedom, we may come to Christ. Because if we come to Christ, we will be free indeed. And so we ask your blessing and for your Spirit to be poured out upon us this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. If you go to the MOPS International website, you'll find that their theme for 2017-2018 is, of course, free indeed. And under that major theme, they ask two questions. What do you long for? And what is the thing your heart craves? They seem to answer that question with a question. Is it possible that your deepest desire is to be free? Then they follow that with a number of statements. Free from worry. Free from being stuck. Free from hustling to be loved. Free from a heaviness you can't put your finger on. Free from thinking you should be someone other than exactly who you are. And then they conclude with this statement. At the core, maybe what we are longing for is to be free indeed. This theme of freedom is very important. It's a topic and an issue that's very important in the West. For some people, freedom means having no master, total personal autonomy, answering to nobody. Some people think freedom is the absence of oppression, the ability to express one's opinion, beliefs, sexuality without any interference, or worse, any suppression. Some people think that freedom is the presence and involvement of the right master in your life, recognizing that we are ill-equipped for total personal autonomy. And we need help and need a relationship with the one who created us. This sort of freedom is the freedom that makes us who we should be. There is a deep desire in Western society for freedom, but not freedom from tyranny, nor freedom from oppression, or freedom from hunger. Because in the West, we don't really experience these things. The freedom in the West is to do and be whatever and whoever we want to be. And no one should prevent us. Some people want freedom from particular relationships because they feel they've been under a domineering or controlling person. Some people want freedom from spouses, feeling that they've been locked into a marriage that has not made them happy or fulfilled them. Some people want freedom from children so that they can find themselves. Some people want freedom from work, and so they buy a lottery ticket, believing that if they have enough money, they will be free. Free to do whatever they want. Free to be whatever they want. Freedom here is about escaping responsibilities and escaping commitments to do whatever we want and not to be accountable to anyone. So freedom's pretty big. It's a big topic in Western society, but it's also a topic that's gone throughout the ages. In our reading, Jesus meets a group of religious leaders, Jewish religious leaders, who believe that they are free. They're not slaves to anyone. They've been born free. So when he tells them that they're not free, they're angry and they feel insulted. Jesus says, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth and the truth will set you free." So here Jesus is saying my teaching and the truth is the same thing. And being Jesus' disciples means that you've actually been set free. So the other side is that if you don't hold on to Jesus' teaching, then you're not free and you don't know the truth. And in our society where we do value freedom and we believe that no one has the truth, this is a pretty radical, insulting statement. We should be offended that Jesus tells us that we're slaves and we don't know the truth. Because freedom means no one telling us or forcing us to do or think in any way. Truth, of course, is something today that is subjective. You can't prove that some philosophical or religious or spiritual or cultural idea is the truth. There is no such thing as the truth. Unless, of course, you apply it to gravity. And then we all agree that that's true, is it not? If you don't believe it's not, if you don't believe it's true, if you want to test it, all you have to do is just go to a cliff and take a step, and then you will find out the reality. It is true. But Jesus is not talking about scientific truth, but truth that describes the human condition. Every human condition. And so it's insulting, because we believe that we are free and no truth is universal. The religious leaders also believe that they are free and that this statement didn't apply to them. We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free? So towards God, they say that they are free because they can trace their genealogies to Abraham. I mean, some people I have met, you know, have no sort of problems thinking that they're not free because I'm Presbyterian. So I'm not a slave. You know, I've taught Sunday school 20 years ago, so I'm not a slave. You know, my father was an elder or a session clerk or whatever. Sometimes we seem to even today hold on to sort of some sort of genealogy as if, no, we're not like other people. We could say that we're free because we don't face oppression and we aren't slaves to anyone, are we? We could say we are free because we know who we are and where we're heading. We could say that we are free because we are in control. Do you believe that you're in control? Like the rest of us, most of us would wake up in the morning, have breakfast, maybe, travel to work or school, spend 6 to 8 hours doing work. Then we come home, prepare dinner, wash up, watch a bit of telly, surf the net, go back to bed, and then the next morning we start all over again. And again. And again. And again. So are we in control of our lives? And if you don't love what you're doing, then the last thing you feel is freedom. You feel trapped. And so when we feel trapped and we long to be free, we go on holidays. And on holidays, we can do what we want and be what we want. On holidays, there's no pressures, no deadlines, and no expectations to control us. But holidays don't always come about, but the next best thing does. So we look forward to the long weekend, and we live in Canberra, don't we? So we have more long weekends than others. And in fact, very soon there is another long weekend coming. And long weekends are previews of the freedom we want from all responsibilities when we go on holidays. So we long for holidays, we long for long weekends because we long to be free. But Jesus doesn't want us to talk about freedom from responsibilities. Jesus is focusing on freedom from tyranny, from a master that wants to control us at the very core of our being. Jesus replied, "Verily, truly, I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave of sin." And the kids' talk this morning just was brilliant, very clearly shown that everyone is a slave to sin. When we talk about sin, of course, today, most people laugh. Sin is an old-fashioned word. Sin is, you know, doing naughty things. But the biblical understanding of sin is that sin is an orientation whereby a person chooses to do what they want in opposition to God's word and God's will. Jesus brings out the truth that sin is a master who everyone is enslaved to because we all sin. We are enslaved to sin, therefore we sin. We sin and therefore we're enslaved to sin. And it's not that sin has to be sort of something terrible. It can be something quite acceptable. See, the practice of sin also proves that the person is a slave to sin. And the practice of sin enslaves a person to sin as a master and as the controlling principle in our lives. Sometimes we see the tragic and ugly side of sin. We can point to people who maybe go through drug abuse or who do terrible things, and we can see the horribleness of sin there. But sometimes sin can be very domesticated and acceptable. Sin is not about how bad you are, but it's about how we choose to live in relationship to God. Either we submit to God or we live in opposition to God. It's about the decisions we make that reflect our desire to be autonomous persons apart from God. That's sin. And that can be shown in many different ways. Jesus tells us that sin is never our servant, but it's always our master, and we are its slaves. So for Jesus, humanity's deepest need is not political or economic freedom, but freedom from the tyranny and power of sin. For Jesus, people need freedom from the vicious, soul-destroying bondage that we have to moral failure. We live in a world of moral failure. We have leaders that fail us morally. We seem to live with moral failure, don't we? It's just the expectation. No one's perfect. But it's actual rebellion against a God who loves us and made us. As I said, this sin, this rebellion can come in many forms. You could be simply like a teenager who's had enough of their parental authority. Mum and dad, you're just too old-fashioned, you don't understand, so I want to be free and I'll do what I want. Or you could be like these religious leaders. You refuse to acknowledge the truth that Jesus is saying because you want to highlight, I'm a good person. I'm a good person. So Jesus, you've got to be wrong. I'm not enslaved to anything. But then you need to ask the question, who is this Jesus? Is he just an ordinary bloke? Then why should we listen to him? But he's not an ordinary bloke. In this gospel that we're looking at, John at the beginning of his gospel makes an amazing statement that this Jesus is the eternal Word of God who created all things. He is equal to God the Father, and so he, as God the Son, has taken on himself our humanity with the sole purpose of achieving our freedom from sin. That's an amazing goal for God, isn't it? That God is committed to your freedom, to deliver you from slavery. Even when you're quite happy in the situation where you think, I'm not a slave, I'm a good person. That's why he gives this illustration of the son and the slave. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Within the first century home, there was a difference between a son and a slave. You would have gathered that. A slave could be sold at any time. He or she was simply property. But a son would be the one who would inherit everything. And if the son had that authority, then they could free their slaves. And the slave, once free, legally, could actually become a Roman citizen. But in Jewish circles, a slave was freed after, a Hebrew slave at least, was freed after every 6 years. And in the year of Jubilee, they had to be freed. Why? Because God had saved his people from slavery. It was never his intention that God's people should be in slavery. So God wants you to be free. And Jesus has, as the Son, the authority and the power to set us free, because that's his mission. When he started off in his ministry in the synagogue of Nazareth, he uses Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1 and 2, as his mission statement. He read this: "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour." What a wonderful mission statement. God is committed to your freedom. Jesus' whole mission was to come and set you free, not just proclaim freedom, but achieve freedom. The problem with the slavery that Jesus was talking about was that most people didn't see it or feel it. Now, in the kids' talk, we saw Paul, Luke, being sort of, bound by his sin, loaded down with his sin. But the majority of us, we don't see it, we don't feel it. So this sin is a sin that we may not acknowledge, but Jesus says that sin is something that leads us away from God and towards other things. Things that we worship, things that we serve, good things that God has given us, things like work, family, sport, children, grandchildren. Instead of worshipping and thanking God, the one who gave us all these things, our focus, our desire, our hopes are all in those things instead of God. Well, Jesus says there is no permanent place in his kingdom for people who willingly remain slaves. But if you look to the Son, he says, then the Son can and will set you free. And it is true freedom to be and do what God intended us to be and do. And that is to know him, that is to serve him, and that is to be his children. See, this freedom was won for us by Jesus being willing to take our place and receive the punishment for our sins that we deserve. In one sense, you see, Jesus was willing to lose his freedom, to be bound down so that you would be free. He was willing to be bound and abused so that you could be released. God is committed to your freedom. You may not feel that you are enslaved, but God, in reality, sees you as enslaved and sent his Son to free you. It's a great God that is committed to your freedom. Because Christ has died and risen again, he has the authority. He has the power to release you from the tyranny of sin, to free you from the power of sin and make you children of God. At the beginning of this talk, I mentioned the MOPS website asks the questions, what do you long for? What is the thing that your heart craves? I believe that every longing and what every heart craves is freedom. We express it in so many different ways. But Jesus says this freedom that we long for and desire is freedom from the bondage of sin and freedom to be what and who God wants us to be, his children. The freedom that Christ has gained for us, that is given to us as we embrace Jesus through faith, means that we will not try to escape our responsibilities. Everyone's talking about freedom to escape responsibilities, to be who they want to be. The freedom that Christ gives us enables us to take up responsibilities, to be fathers and mothers and workers and managers, husbands and wives and citizens. It's a call to serve as Jesus serves us. This freedom enables us, by his grace, to be those people in this world because of the freedom that Christ has given us. It is a freedom to serve just as Jesus served us. It is a freedom that he has purchased by his blood. And that's why he tells us. That's why he clearly presents us himself, because it's only through the Son that you and I can be free. And if we have been set free by the Son, then we are truly free indeed to be God's people wherever he has called us and wherever he has placed us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray this morning that first and foremost we may acknowledge that, yes, we are enslaved to sin. And there is nothing in us that can enable us to be free from this. But we thank you that you are committed to our freedom. That you desire and want us to be free, and that's why you sent your Son. Lord, this morning I pray for anyone here who is still enslaved to sin, that they will look to Christ, that he will release them so they can be the people, the man, the woman, the young person, the child that you want them to be. A person who is free to serve, a person who is free to take up their responsibilities and to do it to your glory and honour. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.